96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Hands up! Don't shoot!
Put your hand behind your back. I can't breathe.
Those are the sounds of some of the biggest stories of 2014. The shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, and the months of protests that followed. And, of course, that horrific sound from the video of Eric Garner in Staten Island, New York, in his last minutes of life. We're looking back at 2014 and the top stories of the year, and there were many of them. Well, my guests are Deborah Simmons from the Washington Times and Hamil Harris of the Washington Post. Lines are open. Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Hamil, Deborah, thanks for joining me. I appreciate you all joining the conversation.
Thanks.
Let's go straight to those two stories, which are really very, very connected. The killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri in August, and of course, the Eric Garner situation that actually started the month before in July in New York. All of these things related to protests against police brutality, police killings. We've seen them not only around the nation, but indeed around the world. Deborah, have you ever seen anything like it really in modern times?
No, I haven't. I mean, I'm sure there were protests by the Black Panther Party, civil rights groups, ministers for defense, and others back in the day, way back in the day, but I can't recall them. I do, however, think this is a little bit different, what's going on now, and I think it's their tentacles that a new one has been coming out every 4, 6, 8 weeks since Trayvon Martin's killing, that there was an unrest and some discomfort that started with the Trayvon Martin case that has yet to be smoothed out or settled. And if you look at what the New York Police Department officers did the other day.
Mm-hmm. At the graduation, the funeral services for one of the officers killed two Saturdays ago.
Exactly. Yeah. And here was an officer who was shot with his partner, assassinated, if you will, while they were in their patrol car. And it kind of riled everybody, like, what the heck is going on now?
Mm-hmm.
What's going on now? So to see police officers, law enforcement officers, turn their backs and make a political statement at the funeral of a slain officer took everybody aback. And I want to venture to say that now is the time to talk. After you've protested and you've let everybody know what you're upset about, you can't just keep protesting. You have to say, and I don't want to say demands, but you have to sit down and have dialogue. Why is the police department of New York disgruntled with a brand new mayor of New York City? Something's not right with that. Why would they make a political statement at a funeral and not wait until afterwards, or even have the unions come together and commission, request a sit down with the mayor? There's some message that the police officers are sending that we don't even know what it is yet.
Hamil, your thoughts.
Deborah's on to something, but I think the key thing is there clearly seems to be an end of civility. I was at the protest and talked to Gwen Carr, the mother of Eric Garner, and Leslie McSpadden, the mother of Michael Brown, and you see the pain. It was not just those two people, but you had the mother of Trayvon Martin. You had people, not just blacks, but whites, black people from many races who came together who are tired of this pain of people being killed and unarmed men, black males being killed in the streets. And what you see, though, And I think she's on to a point. You hear this, the rhetoric says, you know, no justice, no peace. We've been hearing that forever, you know, by any means necessary. But now when you see people being killed, on the police officers being killed, then that puts to the police in a defensive mode. And then that's a bad thing. It's funny when I saw the movie Selma, and they were talking about a response for Bloody Sunday would have been violence. And some of the leaders said, well, hold on, Andrew Young said, wait a minute. You want more violence, there's going to be a bunch of killing. So now we see a new chapter in the roles of civil rights in terms of where do we go from here. Response in the 60s was what? Human relations. Elected box people got elected to positions. Whites and blacks, you know, folks of many races came together. I don't see that coming together right now. And I think we're living in this new iTunes, iPad, Facebook, Twitter, and world where everybody's in your face. But what's going to happen now? Will there be more blood on the streets?
Let us hope not. I need to take a break. When we come back, another one of the many top stories of 2014. Some sounds and some thoughts from the Reporters Roundtable. And hopefully from you, the listener, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're looking back at the top stories of 2014. My guests are Deborah Simmons from The Washington Times and Hamil Harris of The Washington Post. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. Lots of topics to get to. We may talk about something while you're on the phone waiting to comment on another one. Don't forget your point. We will certainly get to you. I wanted to make sure that we touched on this because this is really happening here and now. We have yet another Southeast Asian
flight,
airliner that has gone missing, I believe, because of the debris that was discovered literally overnight, that it may be at the bottom of the sea. But, of course, this is really the third incident related to an aircraft, a passenger aircraft from that part of the world. Of course, the flight MH370, the Malaysian plane, and then, of course, it was the flight that was shot down over the Ukraine. But even if we move that piece out of the Ukrainian story and just talk about the two planes that have disappeared, you have to ask yourself, Deborah, what is going on?
I know. And I think one of the key things that, I mean, this is what the experts are saying, because all I have ever been is a passenger on a plane, so
right.
I have no expertise in that area, is that if they can triangulate the location of the black box, they can find out, was it technical error, was it human error, or did they intersect at some point?
Was it weather?
Yeah, exactly.
All of these things.
But one thing they're for sure certain about is that the bodies and some of the fuselage from the plane has been found on the plane path. So, which is a good thing, though not necessarily for anybody who is thinking about flying on the other side of the Pacific anytime soon. I'm sure it scares the heck out of people. I haven't even taken any domestic flights. I'm so doggone terrified of flying, or for the families over there. But it's certainly something to think about. And what does me proud is the fact that the U.S. did not hesitate, has not hesitated, Americans have not hesitated in going in and doing what we can to help the survivors and to find out about what the problem may or may not have been, because that kind of information only helps us over here in American Airlines.
But also, it's very critical to ask the question why. As our world becomes smaller and we like to have world communications, so people want to go not just to home down south for Christmas. They may go clean around the world. But again, you have a very aging fleet of planes. From you still see that old McDonnell Douglas DC-9, the 727. I used to work at an airport, 737. The Boeing company is still an Airbus 320. You got the same few kind of planes flying everywhere, and you got pilot fatigue. They put these things on automatic pilot. People are snoozing as they're flying across the ocean, and stuff is happening. So we don't have a lot of accountability because you got Congress in such a deadlock over
Yeah, but policy. Congress doesn't have anything to do with Air Asia. It's not necessarily Congress, Hamil. Here's what it is. Each airline is responsible for what they do and what they do not do.
Oversight.
Hello? And this Oversight. Was this. But this was an Asian country to Asian country flight.
But hold on, let me say this because I've got to take another break.
Okay.
And I would dare say, Hamil, that I would side with Deborah on this because again, when you may have these American manufacturers,
right.
These companies, and they should perhaps upgrade the technology to make sure that when these aircraft disappear, when they crash, that all around the world these things can be found. But the reality is that whether you're talking about these Asian airliners or European airliners, you may be talking about an American issue, but a lot of these things have happened on the other side of the world.
Right.
Need to take a break. When we come back, Devine from Washington, D.C., Woodrow from Capitol Heights, stay on the line. We're going to talk to you. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More from the Reporters Roundtable. A look back at the top stories of 2014 in just a few seconds.